Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
Best not to now. I think that's got a few extra special sound effects in that one. I hope you don't do that when you go to the bathroom. But we are talking about toilets, so I want you to stay with me right now because the flush toilet is a design that served its purpose pretty well for quite a while now. I think we can all agree on that. Can it be improved upon? I know you'll probably have lots of thoughts about that, but I want to bring in digital technology. What can that offer in the design of what we often call the dunny? Seeing it's World Toilet Day, I thought I'd take a close look at toilet design with Stuart Y from the Institute for Sustainable Futures. Thanks for joining us, Stuart.
Hi, Miff. Thanks.
Lovely to talk to you about toilets. It's fascinating. I mean, we say we're not interested, but we really are because we use it so many times a day. Is there anything wrong with the toilet we've got today?
Oh, there's probably been so much wrong in the past. I mean, the first flush toilets in particular were incredibly inefficient. They use a lot of water to flush a relatively small amount of waste down into the sewer and often without very much treatment. And, of course, you know, over 4 billion people don't have access to satisfactory toilets, which is, of course, why World Toilet Day exists to look at that. But they've improved dramatically, and I think they're finally poised to perhaps move into the 21st century with this addition of a digital toilet.
Oh, digital toilet. Can we get on to that in just a tick? Hold that thought. Dual flush, though, has been something that's been going on for a while. How much water has the dual flush saved?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. It's worth noting it's an Australian invention, you know, like Wi-Fi and the Hills Hoist and so on. So it's pretty remarkable that if we had used the same toilets that we had before, say, the late 1980s, we would be using 270 billion litres per year in Australia alone, more than we are now, which is, just to put that in context, it's about three times the capacity of the Sydney desalination plant.
Wow.
So it's a massive amount of water. We'll never use as much water to flush toilets as we did in about 1992.
Mm. Was that an Australian design, though, the original dual flush, which was to pop a brick in it?
Well, that's true, yes. And I have heard of people who mistook that instruction and put the brick in the wrong place.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's true. I lived in many a share house where we tried to save water just by popping a brick in there. But, you know, living in a share house, it probably wasn't the best option.
But it can work for a while.
It can. Dual flushing, an Australian initiative?
Absolutely. An Australian invention. A major Australian toilet manufacturer brought out successively more efficient, so that now we're down to 4.5 and 3 litre for the two dual flush, starting off at around 11 or 12 for a single flush. So that's a massive reduction when you multiply that by millions and millions and millions of flushes every day.
I am talking to Professor Stuart White, and we are discussing toilet design innovation in particular in this new digital age. Now, we mentioned digital. It sounds ominous when it comes to toilets. What do you mean by this?
Well, what it is about using the arrival of the Internet of Things, which is low-cost sensors. So we can monitor, for example...
We're not monitoring our waste, are we?
Not yet.
I mean,
that is done, but it's not part of this. We're talking mainly about commercial installations. You think of a shopping centre, or perhaps even more so, say, an airport or a concert venue, of course, where you get a very large number of people using a toilet for a short time. And so there's issues around which toilet gets used.
There's rules around that,
functioning,
isn't there?
Well, that's true. Etiquette. And of course, the ability to provide maintenance and cleaning services. So in a commercial context, the ability to see whether a toilet's been used, how much water it's using, is it leaking? It can even tell you what's wrong with it in some cases, so you can get some feedback to the people who are responsible for those in facilities and so on. So we're talking principally about data on water use and improving efficiency. And then, of course, it applies to not just toilets but taps and showers as well.
Okay. What about composting toilets? Back on that before we can sort of analyse what the digital studies can do. Why don't we adopt these in urban areas? In rural areas, they're really common, but not so much in the cities and in our suburbs?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a topic that's very close to my heart. I had one of the first composting toilets in an urban area in Australia a long time ago now. And it's extremely important that we look at options which either massively reduce the volume of water, either through improved efficiency or even such as we have with the dual flush or vacuum, but also looking at dry toilet options. And there are many places, and particularly given that World Toilet Day is about, you know, the sort of there's up to a billion people who just don't have a toilet to go to, you know, which is pretty serious. And composting toilets have been now starting to be widely used in places where they can substitute for no toilet at all, particularly communal accessible composting toilets and so on.
Yeah, it's interesting. Toilets allow access for lots of people. I know even in city design, where I come from, and Australian capital cities, there weren't a lot of women's toilets even 100 years ago.
Exactly, and we're just starting working on a project looking at water for women and looking particularly at the gender equity issues that throws up. There's a significant number of key issues around women and access, safe access to toilets.
And that would be very important in other countries, not probably first world countries, but we're talking
There's a third big world distinction. Countries. Yeah, yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's been the hardest of the Millennium Development Goals, as they were now the Sustainable Development Goals. The one on sanitation has been the hardest one to meet. There's still a lot of work to do there.
So dry toilets are an option. What are they? I don't really understand dry toilets.
Oh, well, there's various different designs, and many listeners will know that Gates Foundation have been strongly supporting alternative methods. But, I mean, traditional composting toilets have been used for thousands of years in Southeast Asia and lots of places, and, of course, are widely used in many countries now, including Australia. And basically they dry the material so it allows it to dry rather than mixing it with water and then having to spend a lot of energy and chemicals and treatment in order to separate out those the waste from the water, because water is just used as a carriage medium, really. It's a transport method rather than something that's useful from that point of view.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that. I am talking to Stuart White, Professor Stuart White, here about toilets. Tell me, toilet design of the future, what will we see? What will be the fixtures of a bathroom? What will an everyday household bathroom look like?
There are so many different options that I think we'll see, probably a variety of them, as we're starting to see in experimentation now. We'll certainly see sensors and the digital toilets, particularly in a commercial context, because that's, as I say, just been launched in the last few weeks by a major Australian toilet manufacturer. But we'll also see a combination of vacuum toilets. I mean, not the noisy ones that you have on planes, but
terrifying.
Perhaps more sophisticated ones, which are currently available, which are less noisy and less dramatic, shall we say.
And probably wouldn't take your shirt off your back if it got caught in it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing we'll probably see is urine-diverting toilets, because we're starting to see them in some areas, particularly in Scandinavia, where they have a problem with pollution in the Baltic Sea. So we'll see toilets which divert urine, which contains most of the nutrients and that can then be used for fertiliser.
What about in terms of conserving water, shower taps that automatically turn off after a couple of minutes?
Yes, well, they currently exist, and there are many of those. And, of course, there are some that can have a certain more level of self-control. But certainly showers which feed back, that monitor the temperature and keep it very stable, because that's one of the things that means people use more water in a shower if they can't get the temperature right. And also they often don't know how long they've been in there, so you'll easily have displays that'll tell you how long you've been and perhaps give you a warning, particularly.
What about for someone who spends too long in there not doing anything at all but just reading?
Well, yeah, I suppose you could have an iPad on there, but there's all sorts of options to help move people along, if you will. Yeah. And a lot of these technologies will enable that kind of behavioural insights and nudge programs that can suggest, you know, perhaps a tap that flashes after people have used the toilet that suggests, oh, I might go and wash my hands and that sort of thing.
Great. They're coming for your bathrooms, everyone. It's going to happen. But it is absolutely fascinating. And the most important question I need to ask you today, because you are a professor, Stuart White, which way should the toilet roll go, over or under?
Oh, definitely over. I think there's no question.
Thank you. You are welcome in my house anytime. This is brilliant. Thank you for having that cleared up. And I'll just watch the text line go into meltdown now with people disagreeing with you. But thank you so much for your time, Stuart.
Thanks, Miv.
Professor Stuart White there, Director of the Institute for Sustainable Futures with the University of Technology.
This is Miv Warhurst on ABC Radio.